Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks. A rich, smooth, and truly delicious chocolate experience.
This week, the IRFU released the women's rugby jersey for sale for the very first time, and it marked a huge moment in the promotion of the women's game. But is it too little too late? Because on the year of the 20 by 20 campaign, which was the first really of its kind in this country to champion women and girls in sport, the campaign aimed to try and focus on a cultural shift really in Ireland. So where are we now? Has it worked or is there still a long way to go? You can let us know your view on this afternoon. You can get us on 53106 at a cost of 30 cent, or if you want to join the conversation live on air, it's 1890 453 106. Aisling joins us here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon. Aisling, what's your view? Is women's sport in a better place than it was 12 months ago?
Hi, Andrea. It definitely is. Like, GAA is my passion, and I suppose personally for me growing up, I never seen ladies football or camogie games on the TV. I couldn't name any players, and that's all because I suppose it wasn't visible to me. You know, it wasn't on the TV or radio. But now, in saying that, I could name the full men's Meath team and many players from other county teams. Like, growing up, my sports idol would have been Kieran McDonald from Mayo, and I remember wanting to play just like him. And I just don't ever remember having a female role model in sport. And my club, say in Meath, we had no ladies team in football or camogie, so me and my sister here now would have played for the boys until a ladies team was formed. And now we have a brilliant ladies section. So I suppose growing up, I never seen or been around many women in sport. And that's a huge difference from then and now. Like, young girls now have women's sports role models. So I do believe the message of the 2020 campaign, can't see it, can't beat it. It's such an important message, because unless you do see it, how is a young girl going to believe she'll play for Ireland or a county team?
What was your own experience? I mean, you've talked about the kind of the visual aspect of it and being able to hear about it on radio, but you've played yourself, I take it, from listening to you there, Aisling. What was your experience?
Yeah, I'm still playing as well. So I think the main difference comes to mind is support. If the men are in a final, you'll know about it, and your uncle who moved away to the US 20 years ago will know about it, but if the ladies are in a final, don't get me wrong, now people will know, but just not to the same extent. You know, the people of the wider community, they wouldn't show as much interest if the men were in the final. So I suppose personally for me, that was always hard to take when we put just as much effort in and time into it. And I think that just came from people just not taking as much interest, because maybe they think the game isn't as skillful or competitive enough. So maybe they haven't watched the game, so that they wouldn't have known. So I think the main thing is support.
Okay. And aside from the support, Aisling, you know, what other positive changes have you witnessed in the past couple of years, and even two in the last 12 months when you talk about the 20 by 20 campaign?
Yeah, like, say county pitches could be a good example of that. Like, in Meath here, Park Tolton is our main pitch, and it's extremely rare if you got a chance to play there. And now in recent years, the women's county teams have played double headers there with the men's team, which is brilliant to see, because in return, it makes the ladies' game more visible, and like, the spectators from the men's game will then see the ladies' match, and that's what we want to see, you know. Another actually example of that would be the Cork ladies, and their pitch will be Porky Queeve. And for the first time this year, they played there. They have 11 All-Ireland titles. They played in Croke Park, but they never ever played in their home stadium. You know, that's a mad example. I always find that fascinating. Like, how
do you find it frustrating, Aisling? I know it's not.
Oh, definitely.
Not in court,
yeah, no, definitely. To watch from the outside, you know, I'd have friends that play for a lot of the county teams, and it's very frustrating. And we don't want to come across as women moaning about women in sport. You know, we don't get enough. I'd hate it to come across like that. I suppose it's just trying to highlight that we are as skillful, they are as competitive. If you just maybe took a chance to go to a game or to listen to the coverage, you know, you'd see that.
Okay. Listen, stay with us, Aisling, because we are discussing, you know, where are we at the minute when it comes to women in sport in this country, and at the back of the 20 by 20 campaign that's been running throughout the year. If anyone wants to get in touch with us today, it's 1894531106. Stephanie joins us as well on the line here on Lunchtime Live. It's Stephanie Roach, of course, Irish footballing legend, played for some of the biggest clubs in the world. Stephanie, do you think improvements have been made in the past couple of years?
Hi, Andrea. I'd agree with Ash, and I think there's definitely been a big surge, and the 20 by 20 campaign has a big role to play in that. I think you've seen a change over the last couple of years, particularly in terms of the media coverage, and people taking more of an interest in what's actually happening in women's sports, which is good to see, because over the years it definitely hasn't been there. So it's just, for me personally, I hope that it continues to improve and doesn't kind of just stop at where it's at, because I think there is still room for improvement, but it has come a long way.
What sort of improvements, Stephanie, do you think could be made? I know Aisling talked there a few moments ago, you know, about even just that kind of support you get locally and the visibility as well, even through organisations.
Yeah, I think just personally for me, through football, I think there's been a lot of talk about maybe equal pay and stuff around the world in terms of international football and at club level as well. But I think for me, it's equal opportunity. I think there has to be the same things there for the men, because if we want to improve and get to the highest level, we have to have the same opportunities and the same, I suppose, help from the associations that the men are getting. And I think that's something that has definitely improved. I think I can only speak from experience from football, what I've played in and where it's come over the years. And definitely there's been improvements within the FAI, within the Women's National League here in Ireland. It's got more and more competitive and more kind of marketing and stuff behind it. But as I said before, there's still a long way to go. And I just hope that we're going to kind of take the foot off the pedal now, because the 20 by 20 campaign is coming to an end this year. But as I said, they've done so much good work, and I hope it can continue to improve.
Yeah, is there a need, do you think, to continue a campaign like this? Like, I know obviously in the past couple of months with COVID-19 and the restrictions and all of that, it I'm sure it has been difficult in some ways. But is there, do you think, should there be a sort of another run of this campaign, do you think, or something similar?
I'm not sure. I think you can run the risk of maybe it just people kind of just kind of getting fed up with the whole idea of us keep on pushing it. I think the main thing for me is that 20 by 20 has made people kind of step up it, like in terms of media. Obviously, they're trying to improve media coverage and people in the press wanting to highlight more female athletes. And for me, the fear would be that it's kind of just, oh, well, we have to do that now because, you know, we're kind of pushing the women's game. We have to kind of try and give the women's side a little bit more of a push. I think there needs to be an actual more of an interest in actually doing it and not maybe being that tokenism.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
End of a segment, put a women's thing in, you know, I think that's kind of the fear for me. But I think definitely, I think if it keeps going the way it is, it's going in the right direction.
I suppose a lot of this too, Stephanie, comes from, you know, demand and whether or not people will sit down and watch matches or listen to matches or, you know, buy magazines or buy the newspapers and, you know, read various different articles if it's relating to female participation or female sport. Is there an increased appetite from the public now for that?
Yeah, of course. And I think that's a really valid point. But I think the issue that we have had for years is that we haven't been highlighted enough. So, I mean, if young kids are seeing Neymar, Ronaldo, Messi constantly on the TV and constantly in magazines, constantly in papers, it's going to make them want to watch them and see them. And if they don't see the likes of kind of the female athletes that are role models, they're not going to really have the opportunity to be able to actually know what they do and how they do it. So I think that's the point of the whole 20 by 20 campaign, is that to highlight what's out there so that then the young people can see that there are actual female role models in a similar position to the male ones that they follow for years.
Just stay with us, Stephanie, because we're also joined here by one of our callers on Lunchtime Live, and that number is 1894531106. Aisling was here with us just a few moments ago. Aisling, can I just ask you as well about that point there that Stephanie mentioned in relation to tokenism? Did you ever experience that, or did you ever feel that?
Yeah, I suppose, like, sometimes when I talked about there about the going on ahead of the lads' games in Park Dalton, the like, it's a great experience, but sometimes, yeah, you feel like it could have been ticking a box, you know, we'll have to let the ladies out, you know, we have to let them play on the pitch here too, but we just hope that continues, that happens every year, that happens for league games, that happens for finals, you know, it just doesn't happen on maybe as a final, it might happen through the league games and the whole way through.
Okay.
Another point, like just with playing in Croke Park, like up until last year, the ladies didn't play in Croke, they only played the finals. But then last year they included the semi-finals. So there's girls that have gone through their whole career playing county football and whenever step foot in Croke Park. So, you know, there's things like that that really need to change.
Just stay with us as well, Aisling. Miriam also joins us here on Lunchtime Live. Miriam, why did you get in touch with us today?
Well, just I was ironing away in the kitchen and I heard you saying that after the news you're going to be talking about women in sport. And I just said to myself, well, that's a coincidence, because I had just heard about an hour previously that my own granddaughter and her science partner, Aileen, had been chosen to put their project in for the Young Scientists next year. And their project is Girls in Sport, hyphen, Why They Drop Out. So that's why I rang. I just thought, that's a coincidence.
Yeah.
it was a very good project. And she started, really, it was in last year in school with two of her friends from Roundwood here. And they won this for the SciFest. Their project won that. So now she's kind of building on that. And
What age is she, Miriam?
She's 13. Her name is Sive.
Sive. And is she interested in sport? Does she play herself?
Oh, she is. Oh, she is. They're runners. Herself and her sisters have been park running for, I don't know, the last 6 years, I think.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
And she's in athletics as well, and cross country running and that kind of thing in Roundwood and in Kilcool.
Is there enough being done, do you think, to try and encourage Sive and her siblings to stay running, to keep at it?
This is the sort of thing that was coming out, that they were not getting the chance to choose what they like to do, is what they were coming out from their survey. Where they might have been going into school sporty, they weren't doing what they wanted to do, sort of. That's what actually she said to me, that she felt that was coming from. They contacted all loads of different schools and put the choices to them, and they found out that was the questions, rather, to the schools, and it came out that it seems girls dropped out.
Right.
Now, this is a very, very, very small bit of the whole thing that I remember, because it was a big project, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the part I was interested in, why they were dropping out, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we might actually just, Miriam, just put that very point to Stephanie Roach, who's here with us on Lunchtime Live as well today. Stephanie, is that something you'd agree with, like maybe greater opportunity in the likes of schools and community groups to try and prevent that dropout?
Yeah, definitely. I think obviously growing up when I was in school, there wasn't many options to play sports. I think GAA was kind of there, but it was more so for the boys. And obviously I was a bit of a tomboy growing up, so I kind of just went and played with the boys more than anything. But there were very, very limited options for me as a young girl in terms of sports. And I mean, I loved all sports. I would have always been very active and wanted to kind of be out playing with it no matter what sport it was. And there weren't enough options for me growing up. I think as I went into secondary school, definitely the change was happening. And there were more options in secondary school, but I think primary schools really have to try and focus and keeping their girls interested in sports and giving them options and letting them know kind of what is available to them as they go forward in life.
Aisling, as well, just to yourself, can I bring you back in on that? Like you said you've played GA for many years and still do as well. Did many of your other teammates drop out down through the years?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that comes from maybe looking ahead to the future and saying, what's the point? You know, before maybe the last few years, we weren't seeing on the TV, we weren't hearing about it. So they were just sort of saying, oh, I'm going to put my efforts into other things. What's the point? And, you know, every evening going to training and playing the games, nobody comes and supports us. You know, we don't get the recognition that we deserve. And, you know, people just got fed up. So a lot of the girls did end up leaving the team. But I talk to those girls now and they always say, oh geez, I really regret leaving. Or then I also have friends that never played and they say it just wasn't an option, like I never had it in my school, or I never had friends of mine that played, so they didn't get the option to play, so they regret that too.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, Aisling, Miriam and Stephanie Roach, my thanks to you all for joining us here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon. Joe has texted us here in the News Talk text line to say Ireland has been represented to a foreign audience over the next 2 days by two women's teams, RTE showing both games as well. And Irish soccer, they don't even have ladies' merchandise available, says this listener, being told in July 2018 they're coming soon, still not in the shop for sale, according to another one of our texts.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks, a rich, smooth, and truly delicious chocolate experience.